Who do you say that I am? That's the question that Jesus asks his disciples today. And in reflecting on this question, I realized that can be a challenging question to be asked by someone, who do you say that I am? It can be a challenge to know someone well enough to answer that question, to know who someone is. Perhaps you've experienced a time when someone thought they knew you, but not quite. Or have had the experience of being known by someone as a child, and then when you're an adult, they don't fully know who you are now. They think of you as that child they once knew. It can be hard to fully know who someone is. Knowing someone, I think, requires us to be in relationship with one another. It requires to spend time with someone, to talk with them, listen to their story, hear their experiences, to spend time as the mystery of someone's identity is revealed while being attentive to their personality, to what you learn of them. And so in our gospel, when Jesus asks the disciples, who do you say that I am? That's quite a question. But of course, he doesn't start there, does he? He has a question before it. He says to them, who do people say that I am? And they answer, well, a prophet. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, some other prophet. Now, I find it curious that Jesus asks this question. It is likely he knows what the people are saying about him and who he is. So he may be asking the disciples this question to begin their thinking, to begin their reflection on his identity, and perhaps to prepare them for the second question, the question that is more personal, that they have to answer for themselves. And that's the question, who do you say that I am? So rather than repeating others' answers, they have to respond. They have to think of their answer and tell Jesus that. They get to speak from their experience of being with Jesus, of their faith in him. It provides them a chance to reflect on the experiences they have had, what they see, what they have learned about him. Now, I think it's also interesting that Jesus asked this question. He could have simply told them who he was. He could have made it clear to them, told them what he wanted them to know about him, to believe about him, what they ought to expect from him. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he offers them a personal moment, a moment with some vulnerability, in asking that question, inviting them to reflect. He, in love, is building relationship with them and asks them a question which is all about their time with him and their relationship. But what he's not doing is speaking for them or pushing them or coercing them. He's not telling them how he wants them to think, what he wants them to believe, but inviting them to come to know him, to experience who he is, to discover him, to see Jesus as he is revealed. Peter is the one who answers the question, and he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus sees in Peter's answer a revelation, telling Peter that this answer comes from God, not from Peter himself. Peter is in this moment seeing Jesus as he is, getting a glimpse of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. For a moment is seeing the full nature of Jesus. Jesus then goes on to say that Peter is the rock, the leader of the church, the one who on whom the church is to be built, and declares that Peter has special authority, authority to bind and to loose. Now, scholars don't fully know what that means, but it seems to refer to Peter being entrusted with a special role in the church after the death and resurrection of Jesus, to be entrusted with the good news of Jesus, to be the one who helps the church interpret the risen Jesus for the followers who come later. Now, there are some traditions in the church which interpret this passage as giving special authority, a special call, not only to Peter, but to his successors, particularly the bishops of Rome, the Pope. Though scholars don't see that in this passage, they see this as being about a particular call for Peter and Peter himself. And we see through the New Testament Peter's role, particularly in the Acts of the Apostles, we see Peter's role in helping to build up the church, and that role of deciding how the church is going to exist and how the church is going to welcome new people as it grows in those years and decades after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So Peter's role is not so much one of establishing some kind of dynasty, nor is it one of being heavily judgmental, but it's a call for Peter to understand what Jesus calls them to do as the church, how Jesus calls them to respond as new people are coming to them. And we see in the Acts of the Apostles, Peter wrestling with that call when Gentiles start receiving the Holy Spirit, and Peter's not convinced they should be part of the church. But after a vision from God and after prayer, Peter comes to discern, yes, God is calling the church to welcome Gentile converts. And so Peter's role becomes one of welcoming these new converts into the church, even though not all agreed with him. This question of who do you say that I am was important certainly in those years of the first century, but it didn't just end at that time. That question remains an important one. And we see in the early history of the church wrestling with who is Jesus? What is the nature of Jesus? Is he human? Is Jesus divine? Is he fully human and fully divine? And so in the early centuries, there's much teaching. There are church councils convened to discern who Jesus is. There's even conflict and some bloodshed. But eventually the church comes to decide that Jesus is indeed fully human and fully divine, and comes to articulate the Trinity, that we know God revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all three are God. One Godhead in three persons. In our own time, the question of who Jesus is, I think, is still important, and how we answer it has a bearing on how we live. There are different answers, of course. Some people I hear answer that question that Jesus is a good man, maybe even a prophet, a holy man, an ethical teacher, one who comes teaching a way of life, a particular way of behaving and living. Often that's articulated as what's called the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you, or to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this can lead into a way of life which is certainly different from life in the world, a world that is so full of greed and hatred and violence. But I think this call to follow an ethical teacher is fine, but falls short of who certainly I know Jesus to be. And so we can also answer the question of who Jesus is with an understanding like Peter's of Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of the living God, as the one who, yes, calls us to a particular way of life, a way of life rooted in loving God as well as our neighbor, but also as the one who is more than a teacher, more than a good man, the one who is in fact God incarnate in our midst, the Word made flesh. In seeing Jesus, we see God revealed to us. We see the one who comes to us desiring to lift human flesh to the divine life. We also, if we see Jesus as our Messiah, have one who has power to deliver us from the hold of sin in death, the one who can set us free from everything that enslaves us, everything that holds us back, everything that separates us from God and neighbor and self. Jesus the Messiah is the one who can transform us, who can set us free. Free from any despair, from fear, can open us to a life of self-giving love, setting us free to live the life that Jesus lives. If that's true, if we know Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, then I think we are called to a life which has a focus of worship and prayer and sacrament, called into a life where we worship God. We worship Jesus revealed to us as God. We are called to be the gathered community, to come together to worship as we are doing this morning, and to be gathered into the body of Christ, the very presence of Jesus in the world. We are also called to a life of prayer, to those times when alone we come into the presence of God, when we are silent before God. Times when we read Scripture and encounter what Scripture has to tell us about who Jesus is, has to teach us about God. And times when we come to God in prayer, lifting our cares and hearing God's call to us and God's response to us. We're also called to a sacramental life, to seeing God present to us under the ordinary signs of this world, things like water, things like bread and wine in the Eucharist, to experience God's presence and God's grace, to come to this altar where the bread and wine, those ordinary foods, become the very presence of Jesus, the body and blood of Jesus, and where we ourselves, the gathered community, become the body of Christ equipped to go out into the world and to do God's work by God's grace. When we encounter Jesus in worship, in prayer, and in sacrament, we also come to know him more. We come to grow in deeper relationship with him. Our trust is deepened. Our knowledge of who he is deepened. And so today, Jesus asks us the question, who do you say that I am? How do you answer that? My hope is that we can ask that question and then allow God to reveal Jesus to us, that we can allow our hearts and minds to be open, that we can come to know him more and more as we gather for worship, as we come to prayer, and as we experience the sacraments, that we might be drawn closer to God and be transformed into the body of Christ, that body of Christ in this place called to that living to living that life of service, to be God's loving people in the world, and that through our lives and through the witness that we make, the face of the earth may be transformed. Amen.